The Wall Street Journal warned in a headline that low-lying lands could be submerged by climatic disaster. It should be noted that that headline from the Wall Street Journal was from February 2, 1978, 41 years ago. That is the beginning of an article in the Cornwall Alliance, cornwallalliance.org, which basically disputes the idea of catastrophic, man-made, global warming, climate change, and so forth. And we're going to talk right now with their chief spokesperson, Dr. Cal Beissner. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Cal, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Jerry, it's great to be back with you. Thanks very much for inviting me on.
All right.
Climate changes, but there are a lot of myths about it, too.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, the main focus, I guess, at least for a few minutes, we could talk about the sea level rise. If I'm not mistaken,
yes.
15 years ago or whenever it was when Al Gore's movie came out about, you know, Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah,
and if I recall correctly, there was some sort of prediction in there about the sea levels rising. And it would make Florida uninhabitable. I think he even said at least...
Much of it within 50 years. And most of Manhattan, too, by the way.
Yeah.
In fact, he said that most of Manhattan would be underwater by about now.
Wow.
Hasn't happened.
But these people never get held accountable for these things. It's amazing.
No, they really don't, and it's a real shame. But, yeah, you know, sea level is rising. It's been rising ever since the Ice Age. The long-term trend is about 1.5 to 3 millimeters per year, and it actually can go up to as much as 7 millimeters per year, and sometimes it actually declines. The long-term average is about 1.5 millimeters per year. That figures out to roughly 6 inches, almost 7 inches per century.
Wow. Okay,
so for those of us who aren't used to thinking in metric terms about millimeters, yeah, 6 or 7 inches per century. And some folks think that human-induced global warming will cause that to accelerate. Well, there's been no indication of any acceleration over the period of allegedly man-made global warming, which stretches back basically to about 1950 or 60. And there's no indication that we're going to see that acceleration in the near future. But if we take the word of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is kind of the official body of the alarmists, I applied their estimates of future sea level rise rate to where I used to live in South Florida when I lived near you. I was 15 miles from the beach, 8 feet above sea level, and according to the IPCC's reckoning, I would have beachfront property in roughly 3,600 years.
Well, you should have stuck around. I mean, that's worth a lot of money, beachfront property.
I couldn't seem to find any buyer willing to pay me beachfront property.
Well, there's a lot of suckers, though, falling for the whole idea of catastrophic, anthropogenic, man-made global warming or climate change. And I shouldn't call them suckers. I mean, this is all you hear from all the official channels, whether it's education, the media, many politicians. It's sad.
And you know, great scientists like Al Gore,
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or the Hollywood actor who has done a couple of different films on climate change. And at the moment, I can't remember his name.
Leo DiCaprio, maybe?
Yes, Leo DiCaprio has pushed this as well. And you know, really, I don't blame a lot of people for accepting this. Partly because the media and so on are so backed up on it, but also because, as a matter of fact, basic science, basic physics does tell us that when we put more CO2 into the atmosphere, we should make it a little bit warmer than it otherwise would be. And so a lot of people just say, look, this is the basic physics, therefore case closed. But basic physics also tells us that if you drop a feather and a rock from the same height at the same moment, they'll hit the ground at the same moment.
What?
Unless, of course, they're in the air. And, of course, if it's windy, the feather might blow up into a tree and never come back down. So reality is a whole lot more complicated than basic physics. And the interesting question is not, does CO2 warm the atmosphere, but how much? And the best empirical evidence that we have for that, and empirical evidence is the hallmark of science, is that the answer is very, very little. Probably so little that we can barely detect it. Certainly not enough to be catastrophic for any ecosystems or any human well-being.
Let me ask you a question. Since your message, you're really swimming upstream in trying to get this word out. Have you experienced any of the kind of internet censorship that that others, let's say, dealing with other conservative type issues or Christians communications, have experienced, you know, Facebook demonetizing or YouTube or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff?
Well, perfect time to ask that question, because the very article that you're referring to by Gregory Romo on catastrophic sea level rise really being a thing of the past, that article was initially published. We got it into townhall.com.
Yes.
And a self-appointed fact checker at something, climateresponse.org, something of that sort, a self-appointed fact checker put up a critique on his site that got cited by Facebook as well, and townhall.com got pestered by all of this. Well, the reality is that he was saying that Romo's article was factually incorrect, because it said that the medieval warm period was as warm as today or warmer, and the fact checker said there is no evidence for that. Well, we then responded to townhall.com and gave them a whole bunch of different scientific articles showing that that is exactly what is the case. But that kind of thing does happen. There's a whole, my friend Ross McKittrick, who's a professor of economics at University of Guelph in Ontario, he calls them the climate mob. And anytime a serious critique of global warming gets published somewhere, the climate mob goes into action.
Wow. And you, your organization, Cornwall Alliance, provides a lot of really good resources to kind of arm people with the facts. Tell us about some of those resources.
Well, for example, we have a book called Global Warming Skepticism for Busy People. This is by Dr. Roy W. Spencer. Roy is a senior fellow of the Cornwall Alliance and on our board of directors. He's also principal research scientist in climatology at the University of Alabama. He and his colleague, Dr. John Christie, are the people who run NASA's Global Satellite Temperature Monitoring System. That provides the best data we have as far as global temperature in the world. So, he's a really, really solid climate scientist in this book, very short book, easy for lay people to understand and yet scientifically really sound. We have that book. We have a couple of others by Dr. Spencer and quite a number of other books. Gregory Wrightstone's book, Inconvenient Facts,
yes,
is a really fine one. So we have those. We publish two or three times a week. We publish an e-newsletter, a letter that has a number of articles in it. And as a matter of fact, right at this point, as our way of saying thank you to anybody who makes a donation to Cornwall Alliance of any size, literally any size, we will send a free copy of Dr. Judith Curry's congressional testimony about climate change that she delivered back in June, annotated with some comments by me and with some highlighted portions to lead people through it very quickly so they can see just one of the really important things in this. Dr. Curry used to be a climate alarmist, and when she really began to listen to the other side, she little by little shifted from alarmist to lukewarmer to now she's pretty much a skeptic.
Wow.
And she's one of the top climate scientists in the world.
Wow.
So all people need to do to get that is go to cornwallalliance.org, click on the donate button, and make a donation of any size, and 100% of that will be tax deductible, and ask for Judith Curry's testimony.
C-U-R-R-Y. How did you get so interested in this, Cal? I used to know you from Knox Seminary, where you were a professor. And then at one point you were a teacher at, what was the name of that school? The one in
Covenant
Chattanooga.
College?
Yeah, Covenant College.
Covenant College.
I once talked to an Indian Christian philosopher that I respect very much, Vishal Mangalwadi. And he told me,
dear friend,
yeah, he went out of his way to send his young, you know, his children, when they were of college age, to that school so that they could be taught by you. That's how much he thought of you. Now, this is going back to the 90s, I believe, that you were.
Yes, it is.
So how did you go from, you know, college and seminary professor and author to focusing on this issue? What's kind of your story?
It's actually sort of a matter of coming back to what I was doing before I went to teach at Covenant College. In the 1980s, I wrote first a book called Prosperity and Poverty, The Compassionate Use of Resources.
Yes, I have a copy of that. Yeah, good. Book.
General Introduction to Economics from a Biblical Worldview and Theology and Ethics Perspective. And initially, one of the chapters on that had been planned to cover the population, resources, pollution, environment, grouping of problems. And, of course, we realized that you couldn't do that in a single chapter. So Marvin Lasky, who is now the editor-in-chief of World Magazine, was the series editor. And he said, well, Cal, just do a second book just on that. So I did, called Prospects for Growth, A Biblical View of Population, Resources, and the Future. Which, by the way, we have just reprinted, and that, too, is available from the Cornwall Alliance. Again, if somebody will make a donation of any size.
Can I stop you real fast? Is the climate promoters, the climate mob, they bought into this idea that the human population is bad for the earth, as opposed to the biblical idea,
yeah.
Go, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, fill the earth, though, with babies, with children. AOC is not going to have a baby, or she says so, because she's going to miss out on that because she doesn't want to, you know, add to climate change.
And that's a sad thing, I say, as a parent of seven who knows the joy that we can have as we raise children.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of people think that the earth is overpopulated. They think that population growth is a dangerous thing, and they actually blame global warming on population growth because it's as people use energy that they dig up coal, oil, natural gas and burn it, and that puts CO2 into the atmosphere and warms the earth. And so, therefore, if we have fewer people, we'll use less energy, so we'll warm the earth less. The reality is that human population is a good thing, that people are made in the image of God to be creative and productive as God is, and that as our population grows, because we're able to cooperate more and more with each other, which you can do when there are lots of you, we get better and better at making more and more out of less and less, reflecting that image of God as creator and producer, producer and steward. And so human population growth is not a problem. Overpopulation can't be defined in terms of anything about, say, population density or population growth rate or anything of that sort. The Netherlands is far more densely populated than sub-Saharan Africa, but people talk about sub-Saharan Africa as overpopulated. They don't talk about Holland that way. And there are some interesting stories behind why that is so. There's a lot of racism involved. But no, human population is a wonderful thing, and it is not causing dangerous global warming. Anyway,
we've half a minute left. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Half a minute left.
I was working in those fields before I taught at Covenant College and then at Knox Theological Seminary, and then I got back into them afterward.
All right. So 15 seconds to wrap up. The sea levels are not rising, despite what the alarmists say.
Well, they're rising, but at about 6 inches per century, not at any alarming rate, and we can readily cope with that. The Dutch have been doing it for about 6 centuries.
Okay. CornwallAlliance.org. Dr. Cal Beissner, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Well, thank you very much, too, Jerry. God
Great.
Bless.
You too. Bye-bye.